This is Azalea Podcast. It's your boy Titus. This is episode 102, and we got Alice Slugger with us. What's going on, brother?
All right, man. How you?
Chilling, man. Chilling. Good to have you, man. How you feeling?
Appreciate you, man. Glad to be here, man. You know, this is my first podcast.
Yeah. Welcome.
So to be up here to see this setup and all that. This is dope. It's lit.
Yeah, man. Good to have you, man. Good to have you. It's well overdue interview, man. Like your energy, like your vibe. You like chill as hell.
Straight chill vibes, man.
Straight chill vibes, man. We've been talking back and forth through DMs for a little minute. But actually, before, you don't even know this, the first time I had seen you was at a Skinny J event. Like, I had seen you out there with Cuz O'Ki was headlining it. And yeah. I seen, because you did some stuff out there.
Me and Skinny J, that's my partner, man. I've been knowing Skinny J for a long time. As a matter of fact, Skinny J was probably one of the very first people to, you know what I'm saying, just keep pushing, asking what, you know, on the music dropping or whatever. Like, when I started way back 2009, 2010, this was way back then. Like, he was one of them that was always tapping in. Like, when the music dropping or whatever I did have, he was always on it, tuned in and supporting it. So, shout out to Skinny J.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Skinny J, definitely for the people, man. He definitely for the community. He definitely be looking out.
That's blood, man.
Yeah. Literally?
Yeah, that's blood. That's my blood cousin. Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy. Yeah. You know what? You did tell me that, y'all. Yeah. Y'all literally blood cousins.
And I don't know if y'all know, but when he was talking about the fried chicken and all that, man, I'm really not a fan of chicken like that, but just I've been around it. Like, I was at his mixtape, you know, I was at his album release party when he dropped
the most recent one.
No, not the most recent one. The one before that.
I think that, what was that, 2?
Nah, it was might have been
the first one.
3 might have been Neonic 3.
Okay.
The one, I don't remember, but he had the chicken going in there. We was in there, and the girls get to spilling stuff when he say the chicken ready. Man, they go crazy about the chicken in there. They like,
oh,
that.
Oh, man. He be saying he be cooking it up, man. I got to try it sooner or later, man. He be on it, cuz I'm coming. Sooner or later, man, we going to get this chicken going. Going to have a cook-off, because I know you be frying it up, man. But this interview's about this cuzzo, your blood cuzzo, Alice Slugger, man. So
yeah, for sure.
Let's get into the gist of you, bro, because like I said, I seen you at that event and didn't know your name is like Alice Slugger until later on when, you know, everybody was like putting you with cuzzo and in a sense, not putting you like a group, but like wherever I seen cuzzo, I start piecing it together. I would see you.
Yeah.
And it makes sense now because you're the blood cousin and you're the homie that would have that relationship with him. And then to find out at that event that you yourself are artist, a dope artist at that.
Yes, sir.
I was like, okay, well, the apple don't fall too far. Like, cuzzo dope, you dope. And so I made it mentally. It so happened that like maybe not even that long later after that, maybe like a month, like, we had followed each other on the gram. And then you were like, yo, man, what's good with the interview? I was like, perfect timing, bro, because I had just seen you at that event. And so it gelled together perfectly with timing and stuff like that. And so getting into you musically, like, where did it begin? I mean, like, we know, like, well, I know now from talking to you a little bit briefly outside of this. Let the people know, where you from, like, born and raised Charlotte.
Yes, sir.
Charlottelian, you know. Presbyterian baby.
Yeah,
Presby baby or CMC. Yeah. You know, I gotta ask you
Presby baby. Yeah.
Okay, so we got Team Presby. I gotta start putting that up on the card. They're like, ding, Presby, CMC.
Right.
We got another Presby baby. I was a Presby baby as well, man. And so give us a little, just a background of like being a Presby baby, being born in Charlotte. How was growing up in the city? Because like you said, how we were talking outside, you kind of you know, like you've been in the South Side for a while. You would claim the West Side, because like you spend the majority of your time in the West Side.
Yeah, I spent a great deal of time over there, and I went to Hidden Valley Elementary School all the way from kindergarten to the fourth grade. Like, my aunt stayed right down the street. Mm-hmm. You know, and she raised half of my family. Like, we all lived there, same house, small house, you know, in Hidden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but all around. My dad lived over off Tuckasegee for you know, for a while. That's the west side.
Yeah, the Tuck.
Yeah, so I mean, we was all around, you know, just I repped the four all around, you know.
Yeah. You one of the few that you know what, and I feel like real faux niggas, like they go through a stage while being here, because I'm born and raised here as well, and I can honestly say, like, you probably, and you can attest to this, you go through a stage as you get older, you don't probably stayed around each side, like, right, like you young, like as I look at my life, like I've had moments and stayed on each side for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Whether you stayed there, you worked there, you had a girl there,
right,
you done got familiar with, if you a real like Charlotte dude, because you know sometimes it's a crab in a barrel mentality, sometimes you stay on that your you side say that,
but it's the east side. I wouldn't say I get lost, but it's like on the west side I know my way around there with my eyes closed. Like, I can get around there.
Yeah, most, you know, frequent one.
A little bit of the south, north, yeah, but on the east, it still kind of fucked me
it's
up.
Like a whole other world out here for you.
Yeah, for real, but yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to hear, man. I mean, but, you know, it's like that sometimes. You know, east side is a lot more. I feel like the east side, for me anyway, is the most spread out of the sides, where it's like you can get lost, because I feel like the west side is more connected inside, like when it comes to like the streets and like the buildings, how to get the spots. It's a lot more easier, because it's like it's more closer knit, if that makes sense, right, as opposed to where the east side, like certain things are a lot more spread out. Like it take 10 minutes to get over here. I can go right down, make a right on the west side, and like you're right there at somebody's house. The houses, I feel like, are more like the I don't know if that's how they set up the neighborhoods. It's just easier to get to someone's house as compared to here. You got to do a little more driving. But east side, south side, west side, north side, man, it's all Charlotte love at the end of the day, man.
And the city growing, man. The city looking real good. Like the city, small city. I remember when it was 50 cent to ride the bus, man.
That's a throwback.
I remember getting on the bus with my grandma when I was a kid, and she put 50 cent in the bus. Mm-hmm. That was back in the day. Like,
that's a throwback.
Yeah, and I watched every couple of years it go up and up and up and up. No, I don't know how much it is now. I ain't rode a bus in a while.
Me neither. I haven't rode one in a while. The last time I rode one, I think it was like $1.10.
Nah, it was $2 and something last time I rode it.
That was the last time I rode it. Like,
it was $2.
Mm-hmm. The last time I rode a bus. In the beginning stages, like you said, it was like 50 cent. Like, it was like 50 cent to ride a bus. Now, it's probably like $3 now. If it was $2 last time you rode it, so it got to be at least probably going closer to $3, because the city is growing. The bus stops are getting this more and more bus stops in areas where back in the day I would see, like, I'd have to take one bus stop and then walk for still
and
another
then you got
10
the
minutes.
Light rail that starts from South End all the way from Pineville Matthews to all the way
downtown.
Past North Tryon.
Mm-hmm. North Tryon got his own rail now, the Blue Line. And so it's definitely grown. They expecting to put one on the east side sooner. Their goal is to put one on every side. So, like, they want to put one on the west side. They want to put one on the east side to where they all connect center city. That's the goal for them. I'm already seeing them, like, doing it where they trying to build even the outskirts of like Concord up. Like, if you even go to Concord Mills, that's way different from like how it was. They got that big old bridge over there now, and they're planning to connect that like how they did Carolina Place Mall, to where that'll take people all the way downtown. And so it's growing, man. It's like being somebody born and raised like yourself, like, how do you adjust, and how do you feel about the growth? Because if you're a Charlottean like myself, born and raised here, you know, it's like it's a lot of people that's not Charlottesville, it's from here. It's become like a hub for a lot of people business-wise.
Oh, yeah, like, man. I would see, like, a lot of the old projects and a lot of the old neighborhoods, man, they getting tore down. And it look a little funny. I be looking like, why is it houses built right here on the corner of South Tryon? This was... Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Wilmo, I remember when Wilmo was 100% hood. It really wasn't. You know what I'm saying? But now you see big houses and stoops. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it's like, it's just that location.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't about the area. It is about the area, but, you know, like, people like that location when they step outside their patio, they like to see that city skyline. Like,
yeah.
So if that happened to fall in that, I mean, it's just crazy. But then it's still a few of them that's still around that haven't went nowhere. But you could tell in the next 5 or 10 years that won't be there.
It's gonna be crazy before next 10 years. Yeah. Like you said, probably that. Even before that, because gentrification is at its finest. Like, you're already seeing the effects, like you said, having these skyscrapers in hood areas, and like, that was a goal I feel like that they're accomplishing. Like, was pretty much trying to like push people out and bring these newcomers in that got all this money that's coming from New York, all over. Like, I seen Atlanta, New York, Seattle. Met a person from Seattle, came over here dealing with that banking. And so like we're getting people from all over, and they're trying to adjust and build spots for these people. And it'd be hilarious because like they'll be in these $2,000 a month skyscraper, probably higher than that, like apartments, and daggone the hood be right behind it. And they don't even know. But I imagine like all the major cities is like I feel like Brooklyn's probably like that now. Cause like how Brooklyn's revamped, you see like spots like Williamsburg, KB can kind of vouch for that. You see like how Brooklyn used to be back in the day compared to how it is now. Like, it's a lot of money in Brooklyn now. And they done made that. They done gentrified the crap out of that, to where it's like, it's the same thing. You got these top dollar spots.
Yeah, like, you know, like in the city, like you don't see like a, in this city, like you see a lot of available to rent and stuff like that. In New York, everything getting used. Yeah. Everything getting used. It ain't too many abandoned buildings and all that.
Yeah.
It ain't a lot of that. Like, they utilize everything. Like,
yeah. They're making warehouses apartments.
You go inside a store, and then you go to the back, go up some stairs, and you at some apartments.
Yeah.
You be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's definitely different. I've been to New York twice. I enjoy myself, man. But this, it seems so far from home, man. But when I go the other way out of town, like I've been to Miami, I've been the other way, a little bit deeper down south, and it don't feel like that as much, but being up that way, I'd be like, man, when we going home, this is too far from home.
Like, yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like that with everywhere, though, now, where it's like, I don't know if it's because I got older. When I was younger, I did a lot of, like, traveling. Like, I like to drive. Like, I'd be driving by myself 9-10 hours. I can't stand driving now. Like, I can't stand, like, if it's more than an hour, like, I can't even mess with you. Like, for real. Like, unless I got a co-pilot with me or something like that. Like, for real, like, like getting around a city, like I can do that. But like even with that, like if somebody stayed like in Lake Norman or something, like I couldn't be able to see you, like at least like maybe once a week, maybe. Because I just don't mess with the driving like that, which is crazy. Because like I said, back in the day, that's what I loved. I loved getting in the car, blasting my music, hitting the road, going to these different spots, and like exploring like the different cultures of different cities, like Florida. Like I used to stay in Florida after I graduated high school. I stayed in Tampa for a little minute out there around Clearwater area and stuff like that. So I can kind of relate to the sense where it's not that south like Miami, but it's definitely still a more of adjustable vibe for somebody like myself from the south as compared to when I went to New York. And it was just a little bit more like the paces were different, the people were different. But I mean, it depends, because like I've gone to New York more recent when I'm older, and I don't know if it's because the people I know that I went to meet there, it was a little bit more comfortable. Like it was a little bit more homey. But I still missed home more, where I was just like, I couldn't stay there. I wouldn't mind visiting there.
There's no Southern hospitality there. That's what it is.
I think that's what it is, because like I still feel that need to where it's like, Charlotte's home. Like I want to get back home. You know, it's good to have a good time, but I'm back. I want to get back home as soon as possible. But getting back into you dealing with the start of Ala Slugger, I know, but for people... Tell people how you merged those two names together.
Well, my name is Alameen. Alameen. And nickname Slugger.
Slugger.
Yeah. And
How'd you get the nickname Slugger, man? You were knocking people out?
Nah, man, that was just something that we were saying, like...
Slugfest 98, just pow! Back in the day, like... You splitting slug, wigs out
like,
here, bro?
You hit them hard. Like, well, whatever it is, whatever you're doing, you coming hard at it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's what it was. It really didn't have anything to do with fighting, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm. It's coming hard with
I
whatever.
I mess up a building too. I go toe to toe. I done went toe to toe with a couple bullies.
Yeah. 10 yeah, toes down.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. I like that name though. Like I was telling you outside, that's a unique name. And it fits for the artist. Like it fits for you being an artist.
Yeah, I abbreviated it and it actually came like from Facebook, like, you know, like you gotta have like a first and last name.
Mm-hmm.
I abbreviated like Allah. Yeah, like a lot of people say Allah. Mm-hmm. Or Allah, like, you know what I'm saying? It's Allah.
Allah Slugger.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's up. And Dylan, what were you going to say?
I'm not going
to. No, I was just about to say, Dylan, with that name, when did you confirm that you wanted, like, when did it set in your mind? Did you have that name together before rapping? Or were you named Alice? Did you create Allah Slugger to become, like, you know, to be a rapper?
Allah came after that. It was Slugger at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just Slugger at first, and then I chose to put Allah at the beginning of it.
Okay. You know,
so it was like Allah Slugger.
All right. So when did you make the decision where it was like, you know what, I feel like I want to spit some bars for these people out here?
I always been a fan of music, man. Like, and always, in a way, music kind of put me a step ahead of my time, like, you know what I'm saying, all the way down from like the 80s R&B, like I'm into all that. Anita Baker, like, you know what I'm saying, like I listen to the I ain't even talking about like the cookout music, we ain't even talking about that, we talking about like the slow vibes, it could be the slow vibes, the morning vibes, Betty Wright, yeah, we bumping all that.
okay yeah. So you definitely had some great influence.
And so I've been making music for a while, man. Just being around it, hearing it, you know, a lot of friends coming up, rapping. I was never really the type to rap in ciphers and all, like when the guys would be rapping in the crowds and all, that really wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came down to to making the music and all, like, is definitely something that stuck. You know, I didn't ever go into it like saying like, oh, I want to get signed. It was just always something that I enjoyed doing for me.
Just strictly a passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just kept going from there, man.
What's the mind state of you now as opposed to in the beginning when it comes to music? Like, has it shifted to where? Of course, it's like, to me, it's like ball. It's like playing basketball or anything in that sense. Meaning, I say that in a sense because the love got to be there.
Yeah.
But if the love of the game isn't there after a while, like, you gotta retire. I don't care how much money you got. So, of course, the passion is there still as you've gotten older, but has the mentality shifted where it's like, okay, maybe I can make this actually a career now. Like, you know, we're doing shows and, like, when did it switch to an avenue where it was like, I can be in the music business? Cause like,
just figuring it out, how it is about whatever it is that you love to do. If you putting your all into it or you putting your time into it, it's like, and it's really your passion, it'll never go away. Like, you'll never completely hang it up. Even if it's just some shit that you want to hear for yourself. But in this day and age, like, shit moves so fast, like stuff be timeless. Like, you could write something or you could make music and time go by so quick, it's like you feel like that's done aged. You know, you feel like that your music not aged or that you ain't able to do nothing with it. But really, if the people ain't heard it, then, you know, and a lot of times I struggle with that. You know, as an artist, that was one of the things with me and what I still struggle with to this day, like procrastinating when it comes to doing certain stuff. Like, man, you got to keep it going. Like, even if it's like, you know, and I've actually been around a couple people who just keep it moving. Even when we in the studio, like when we recording, like punching in, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't sit down and record a whole song, they just sit and punch in. And it's really just once I really sit back and pay attention to it, like, how are they doing that so fluent? Because it still take me a minute, but it's people that's a real quick with it that I work with on whatever. One of my partners, Jake Snake, or whatever. That's another one. Me and him, he was actually at the Skinny J and Friends event as well. He performed with me or whatever, and we got
okay. Yeah,
that's my guy. Yeah. And, I'll be in the studio with him, and man, we'll get on these tracks and. Excuse me.
You good, man.
What I learned from it is just that you just gotta have fun with it. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you can't put too much thought into it. You know, I'm an Aries. I overthink. Okay. Yeah. I overthink. Can't put too much overthinking, man. Have fun with it. Do what you gotta do and just keep moving, man. Shit. And I feel like for anybody who been stuck at that, like saying, well, it's time to hang it up or whatever the case may be. Yeah. By any means, but you gonna stop doing what you love to do? Like, nah.
Yeah. You should never do anything based off of what others think. Right. Because I feel like that is the kryptonite of the human brain when it comes to comparing yourself to others. And I feel like that's the issue with a lot of people when they know it's something passionate, because when it's something passionate, it never leaves you. Like right. even like you, like if you got out of a stage of rapping, say you're 60 or something like that,
right.
Your ear will probably still be to the streets when like you with your son and with like you're right. still gonna be looking like who's the new person that my kids are right. listening to, or like, oh, you still might watch award shows and be like, who's running the game right now? Like, cause you still got that passion. You still gonna be listening to it. My brother, he's in his 40s. He's still like, that's never gonna leave. Like that love, right. that passion for like hip hop and listening to music, cause it's a universal love for it. And so with that, I feel like what drops the ball for a lot of people and gets people, for me, speaking from my own experiences, what got me into a stage of procrastination was looking at other niggas. Like right. once you start, like especially in the times that we're in now with social media, when you start looking at niggas' pages and looking to the left and looking to the right and like, dang, what that nigga doing that? Like, so like, right. oh man, like, and then like say, like sometimes I'll feel like that, and I've just accomplished something where I'd right. be like, dang, like I still got a long way to go. Like it was just like, so now I don't even look at it as like depressing. Like I look at it now, I had a switch had to flip to where I look at it as motivating, to right. where it's just like, all right, well, homie doing that, that's what's up. Like, what am I gonna come with now? Like, do I, right. it's almost like a friendly competition I play with myself, because right. at the end of the day, like Lupe Fiasco said, your biggest enemy is your enemy. Like, yeah, I'm my biggest. Like, once I realized that, like, same with you. Like, with you being a man, like your biggest competition should be yourself.
Right.
Your biggest competition should be you last year. Like, how do I be a better man from last year to this year? Mm-hmm. And I feel like once people realize that, like, it makes the game a whole lot smoother. Because now you're just really doing it again how it all started for yourself.
Right.
And so it's a long process, bro, for a lot of people, especially artists, because artists is very, like, we're very sensitive human beings. And we want the appeal of people fucking with our shit. And so right. it's like, it's a tough battle that you got to battle with. You can vouch for it. That's something, a mental battle that'll never probably leave us. Right. Like, that's something that you always got to battle with. You got to go through the hurdles of it. And, you know, take the good with the bad, man.
For sure.
What were some inspirations before you yourself became the artist that you are? Like, what did you grow up listening to that inspired you to be like, yeah, this is dope. Like, I want to be a part of this movement. I want to be a part of, like, hip-hop. Like, this culture. Like, who are some people you grew up listening to?
Jay-Z was one. I remember the Blueprint.
Mm, yeah. I
remember when the Blueprint came out. My dad had it. He had played it in his car. It was me and my three brothers. Played it in the car for us.
Classic moment.
Yeah. And we heard it back to back. Like, you know what I'm saying? The whole album back to back. We was listening to it. And I just remember that. From that, it made me a fan of it. Of course, I wasn't too much of a fan of it. I wasn't too deep in the up north music. You know, I came up off the down south music, but I definitely like that. But, you know, I listened to a lot of Cash Money.
You already know.
Cash Money, you know, the Master P and all that. Yeah, I was.
Who'd you listen to more, Cash Money or Master P? No Limit or Cash Money?
Cash Money.
Cash Money, yeah.
Yeah, because that was more...
more of our era.
Yeah, that was more of our era around that time when they was coming up, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, at that moment, at that time, you don't really, speaking for myself, you don't realize what's going on. Like, you don't realize how big Cash Money is. Like, you just hear, like, drop it like it's hot and then go into, like, the Hot Boys. And then now, looking back at it, at that era, like, that joint, like, was like, one in a million. That was magical. Like, that was...
I didn't know Juvenile sold 5 million records.
Yeah, when you start looking at how big it really was.
Paying attention, like, yeah, they was going crazy back then.
Yeah.
And the game... so different from, like, it was like you really had to put that work in back then. It was like, you know what I'm saying?
You had to,
like,
get a real deal so back then.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the game's so different now than it was back then. Like, you got TikTok. And I haven't even made a TikTok. I need to get on it. Like,
me neither. That's a goal I set for myself. Yeah. I mean, I've been fighting it for years, but... it's inevitable to where, like, I mean, me being a personality, whatever you are, whether it's even with you with music, like, it makes the most sense. It makes the most sense to at least see what it's about. And so, yeah, I'm finally going to bite the bullet myself and get one, see what it's about. But, yeah.
Yeah, but coming up, I listen to a whole lot of down south shit.
Hold on a second. Whole bunch of down south. Like, I was here. Oh, it's because I'm near this vent. But yeah, same here. Whole bunch of down south. The first person that I actually got introduced with that was from somewhere other than the south was Snoop Dogg.
Oh, okay.
And like, my brother listened to a lot of, like, Death Row, a lot of later years of early years of Pac too, but like Death Row, Pac. Like, I remember a lot of like that, like Death Row, Pac, Biggie. Jay-Z was probably the best, not the best, but the first dude that I paid attention to from up top.
Yeah.
Because even when Biggie was going on in the height of his career, like, I'm the youngest, so my older siblings and, like, people around my area, like, we did that West Coast, that West versus East thing, like, we were in it. like we were daggone, like, strictly Pac. Like, we were strictly on some, like, you would have thought we were signed to Death Row. Like, we didn't, like, I didn't touch Biggie or Up North cats until, like, I was older, like, dealing with, like, high school, honestly. Because, like, I remember my brother always listening to West Coast and South stuff. And he listened to Up North stuff, but it just, like, at that time, like, I don't know if it's because, like, the people that were, like, a lot of my friends, like, even when I was younger, migrated here from California, and we were more, like, friendlier with that side. But, like, when we were younger, like, we were on that Death Row stuff. And so, like, I didn't even respect Up North rapping until, like, I listened to Jay-Z. Like you said, like, Jay-Z and LL Cool J were the first two guys that I paid attention to. I was like, man, these niggas is fucking rapping.
Right.
And so, but majority of the time, like you said, it was if it wasn't West Coast, it was South. It was South music. It was No Limit. It was Moby Dick. It was, you know, daggone Cain and Abel. Mystical.
I remember, like, when Ludacris was, I remember that wave, like, when Ludacris was coming up, like, early 2000s, like.
Do you think he's underrated? Like, you think Ludacris is underrated? Does he get the credit that he deserves?
Yeah, he get the credit that he deserves, but to a certain extent, it's like everybody set these expectations for the rappers instead of just putting them in their own lane. Like, everybody unique in their own way.
Yeah.
And I see that. And he's one of them just because he's not talking about killing or he not talking crazy in his songs. Like, he get a little slept on. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not all the way, wouldn't say street with it, but you know.
He ain't doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ludacris has always had some kind of, he had like a comedic approach with what he would do. Like, he would just be himself, I guess. Like, he would just be himself. He wasn't trying to be the most gangster nigga out there. Like, he was, I think that's what separated him in a good way, though. Because, like, him just being himself and not like, yo, I'm not going to rap about this. I'm not going to rap about that. Like, I'm just going to, like, bar y'all niggas to death with my life and just out bar y'all and add a little bit of my, because I think he's a naturally a funny nigga, so that's why he made his videos like that.
Right.
you know, a lot of people now compare, like, the recent, if we're talking recent, like, you may have heard this as well, a lot of people compare the Baby to Ludacris when it comes to, like, him being someone that can rap and then his approach of how he makes videos.
And you know what's crazy? That real GOATs, it do kind of, some of the real GOATs vibes, as far as, because I saw a Polo G video that was shot by the real GOATs, and it was giving me the Ludacris vibe, and that was probably something that real GOATs might have came with.
Yeah, that makes sense because they, majority of his videos, especially when he blew, came from them.
Yeah, and it do kind of remind you of the old Ludacris, like, especially the one who was in the bathroom when he had the big hands. Like a whole lot of the Ludacris videos, especially around the time where he dropped the Word of Mouth album.
Yeah, for sure. It's refreshing, man. It's refreshing to see people, in the sense of the Baby, when it comes to video making, that, what's the word I'm looking for, taking it serious again when it came to, because we grew up in eras where
the video game,
like,
for real. He changed the video game, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say he changed the video game a couple of years ago. Like, he got people really, now they really putting their budget behind it. It's not really the running. And of course, that comes when people get ready to drop their album, you know, promoting their album and stuff like that. But nah, those running gun videos and all that, like, it ain't no more of that. Like, he really changed the video game, and he got a lot of the other rappers doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's in the game now, hotter or up and coming.
Which, you know, is refreshing.
The same thing. Yeah, they going straight to the source. They might get real ghosts, or they might just put more thought into what they got going on, you know.
Yeah,
have stuff more planned out. Be more creative, you know.
It made people want to be creative again, like back in the day. Because you're around, you're a little bit younger than me, but you remember like the Missy Elliott videos. Right. You remember like the Busta Rhymes's, and you know, cats actually like world premieres.
Right.
Like niggas, like I remember back in the day, like a music video was like an event. Like niggas
having
used to,
fun in the video. Don't mind dressing up weird, well, not necessarily weird, but don't mind stepping outside their comfort zone to get their point across when it comes to the music.
Just making it cinematic, almost.
Yeah,
putting almost like a movie.
Yeah, bringing it to life.
Yeah, it was like, it was almost like a movie. Like when Big Pimpin', when I seen Big Pimpin', and like that for the first time, like on some like pimping shit and like money, and like I remember seeing like this particular woman in it that she was wearing like some cowboy junk. And I was just like, yo, like, what is this? Like, it was like the first time I seen something like that. But it showed me that, that creative aspect of like music that needs to go hand in hand with it. Like, if you're trying to be an artist, you know, like, have that creative aspect of video making, because like sometimes that'll be the thing that'll blow you before, like, you know, a actual performance of people seeing you. Like, right. When you make a video, like I've seen it where like people will make a certain video and the video will be fly, and they may just have that one song out off of that video.
Right.
But it'll take them off. It'll take them because people watch that video.
They got that visual.
The visuals is very key. Like, is that something that you yourself are looking at when it comes now with this year? Like, we're in the first quarter still of 2022, like it's just getting started. Like, what are some plans with you when it comes to like you creatively, like getting yourself in the lineup for like 2022, like music wise, like video wise?
Definitely figuring out, understanding, doing what I'm doing as far as the music, and trying to at least get to where that I'm getting money for doing it or whatever. It's expensive to record it in the way I like it, like to do it the right way, you know, to get everything mixed and mastered, your producer make sure he's squared away.
Yeah, you're not half-assing anything.
Yeah, that's like everything legit. You want to be recording at the top-notch stuff. Like, so I mean, recording in the closet, well, it's nothing wrong with still recording in the closet, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's like you got to have some. Eventually, you just going to have to pay your way. Like, you know what I'm saying? There come a time where the money got to come into play.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's expensive.
Teamwork.
Yeah.
Teamwork make the dream work, bro, at the end of the day. So once you like, none of these people that's like consistently like doing, even just in like the Charlotte community, like.
And I was one of them who, I was one of those who always, so back to the question, as far as like the video scene or whatever, mm-hmm. I was one of those who, I'm not internet, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm mm-hmm. not always on IG. I'm not always posting too much, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, and you got to be in tune, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be in tune to what's going on. And I'm in tune, but as far as me, I'm not interacting as much as I should.
Would you say that? Would you say that's your one of your cons?
Yeah, I'll say popping out more. You know what I'm saying? Just being there, like, you know, it's not too many showcases and all that going on a lot, but
not
as much as it was in the city or whatever. But mm-hmm. you know, just hell, even if it's pop up shops, I go to pop up shops. You know, I catch a few of those from time to time. But you know, just interacting with the people, just going out, seeing faces, like how I saw you, and you like, oh yeah, man, I saw you mm-hmm. at the Skinny J event.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple people there, like, you know, who came over to me like, keep doing what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, this is my first time meeting you. You know, I know you don't know me, but keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, showing love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, and it was like, oh, okay. And that was it for me. Like, I felt like as long as I touch one person, I'm good. I always felt like that. As long as I touch one person, I'm doing something right. It ain't going mm-hmm. unheard. It ain't going unnoticed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, taking it from that. Yeah. But I definitely got to pop out more, man. I'm always in the house. I'm always... I ain't with the internet shit. Man.
I feel you. Yeah. I'm the same way to a degree. I'm starting to get, we talk about that, like with KB, like I've told KB where it's like, you know, I had to get in the mind state of trying to network more because I'm perfectly fine just being out of the way. And like, that's one thing that he talks about like this year where he was like, I got to start going to a little bit more events and like, you know, like popping out at certain spots and, you know, just cause it's a teamwork effort when it comes to, I'm noticing with like the community of anything, especially here in Charlotte, where it's like, we're right on the verge of like, yeah, we got the baby. Of course, like that busted the door for that like national effect.
We got some talent.
We got a lot of talent that's bubbling though, where I feel like it's going to be in a sense where it's like, in an Atlanta sense where it's like, it's going to be so many niggas making money because like, it's so much talent. And then like, if you're in that group of niggas, that's like, you just moving consistent. Like if you're moving consistent, your time is going to come sooner or later with all the heat that's going to be coming and bubbling over with Charlotte.
Right.
And so with that, you want to be in a sense where you're in the right rooms. You want to be in a sense where you're consistent with your projects and you're networking, you know, like you're showing faith. Even like I try to make a mission at least like every 2 months. Like, you know, I'm not going out every weekend. That's just not me. I can't do that. Right. But what I can do, you know, I'll pay attention. Like we'll be talking about with Cuzzo's event coming up or like with Southside. Like I try to make it count when I do go out. When I do go out, I go to an event where I know I'm a like. I know it's going to be some people that I know there where I can talk to them. And then I can meet some new ones as well. And so I try to, if I'm going to go out, if I'm going to do it, because being in the game, you got to play the game to a degree. But if I'm going to play the game, I'm going to play it my way.
Right.
I ain't going to be going to every dumbass event because like I just want to be the guy to show my face. Like I'm going to make sure it's an event that I really support.
Right.
And it seems the same with you. Like it's just like, because you seem like, a calculated dude where like you made a perfect example where it was like if you're gonna do something, even when it comes to the fact of like studio time, you want to make sure that it's with some people that know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
And it's the same thing when it comes to like I can tell you're planning a rollout, like, but you want to make sure everything is, you know, all right, let's get this going. I got that dude that doing that, all right, well, now I'm gonna do this video. Right. All right, like I can already see it like going for you to where it was just like You're setting it up to where it's like the rollout is gonna be, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it right.
Right.
And so that's one way of in the long run that will help out with your success is how you're doing it, like planning it out ahead of time. Because I feel like a lot of people, they be so eager to want to be in the game and be like, oh man, well I got this song, but it ain't mixed. But fuck it, I'm gonna put it out anyway. And then they get disappointed because nobody wanna fuck with it.
Right.
Because like it was kinda like it wasn't to the level how it should have been anyway. And so the calculation that you're doing is going to work in the long run, because you ain't going to be putting out nothing. But like, even the stuff that I've heard from up until this point, everything that I've heard from you put out is polished. It sound good. Yeah. Your videos sound good. Like you look good in the videos. Like you look comfortable in your skin when you're in front of the camera. And so I'm excited for the next stages of what you're doing, man.
Yeah, man. And I'm, I got some stuff coming up, man. I do, All Eyes on Allah. That's gonna be the name of the project, so be on the lookout for that. That's on the way. What about to say, man? I lost the train of thought. For
it happens, man. It yeah, happens with yeah, the man. Game. All Eyes on Allah.
That's the album coming up, man. Still, just more of me, man. Just more of me, just being around. Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna see a lot of me, because it's a lot of people who don't know me, and it's still people who haven't never heard nothing. And I could never say I'm slept on. Well, I always felt like the underdog in life. It just don't have nothing to do with music, but I always felt like the underdog. But I can never say like I'm slept on or nothing like that, because I just feel like that once more of the work is put in, it'll speak for itself.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, how can somebody sleep on something when it's not a lot of, once you have a bigger catalog, then, you know.
Yeah.
The more work you put in, the more you get out of it. That's all I'm saying. And I am a quality over quantity type of person, but like we said, time tick, stuff changed, like, you know.
Timing is everything as well, man. You know, I feel like this is, because even with what you're saying, where it's like, and it makes sense, of course, like, I did that in a sense with the podcast. Like, I remember back in the day, like a couple years ago, I was talking to a dude. This is before I was doing visuals and everything. And I was like, yo, man, you should do the podcast. Like, this is when I first got started. And he was like, well, where are you recording at? I was like, well, I'm recording at the house right now. And like, he was like, you got video? And I was like, well, not at the moment. But, you know, like, I'm getting to there. And he was like, well, do you have a YouTube page? And I was like, I don't have that either. But like, he was like, well, he stopped me. He was like, look, you my boy. I love you. But get your stuff in a row. And then when the time is right, We'll do the interview. He was like, because I want you to be polished, and I want you to. He was like, I like your idea of doing it.
But you still got to respect the person who.
Yeah.
Started, because you know how they say, sometimes you just got to jump out there.
Yeah.
You got to respect that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to respect that. So even for the people that is dropping music and is not all the way mixed and mastered or whatever the case may be, as long as you continuing to go and you not stuck right there, like, and you continuing it to go, like,
I get it.
More power to you, and keep it going, man. Shit, don't never stop doing it, but just use that as a stepping stone. Like, eventually, man, you're going to have to get it mixed and mastered, man.
Exactly. That's what I...
You're going to have to get it. You're going to have to record in the closet. Like, that's going to have to stop. Unless you sending that track straight to somebody for them to chop it up and cut it up for you. Yeah, man, don't do it yourself. Like, that ain't.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Like, it's levels to it.
Like, that's a whole skill. Like, that's a whole skill. People go to school for years to learn how to record or to learn how to, like, engineer and work with all that.
And it's like I was saying, it's levels to it in that degree. Like, I got what he was saying, because even with the podcast, I jumped out to it. Like, of course, jump out. Like, if you feel like you got some heat, like, yeah, put it out there and sample it. No disrespect with that at all. But at the same time, I get what he was saying. Even when it comes with music, it's levels to it. Now that you know that you can do it, okay, now what's next? Let's get to the level of mixing. Let's get to the level of doing rollouts. Let's get to the level of, like, really setting this up as a foundation.
Right.
And so I think what he was really saying is, like, now that you know that, and same is going with you. Now that you know that you ain't got your feet wet with this thing, you know what you're doing is getting people, like, attention, where it's like, yo, man, keep doing your thing. All right, so now that foundation can start to be built, because now you know you're cooking with some grease now.
Right.
And so that's really the main thing that I feel like a lot of people miss, is once you're cooking with grease, you got to jump out, like you said, to know that you're cooking with grease.
Right.
But at the same time, once you know it, go ahead and take that time to set that foundation up, like how you're doing. You know, you're getting it in order to where, like you said, when that catalog and everything is building itself up, it's gonna be speaking for itself.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's all about, man. It's just building it up to where the work's gonna be able to speak for itself.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying, closing it out, we got Life of Allah, right?
All eyes on Allah.
All eyes on Allah. All my eyes bad. On what did I say? Yeah. Life of Allah. Allah. That's gonna be a yeah. second one, y'all. It's gonna the second one's gonna be. I'm just playing. The second one is not gonna be Life of Allah. All eyes on Allah.
All eyes on Allah.
And you expecting to putting that out next couple months or like towards the end of the year? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
What you
yeah.
looking
before
like
before the summertime?
Okay, yeah, so soon.
At before the summertime, yeah, soon.
Okay, something soon coming for y'all, man. All right. What's your can you give us like your socials? What's your social medias?
Alice Slugger on everything. Alice Slugger Instagram, Alice Slugger, ALASLUGA.
Okay.
Facebook, Alice Slugger. Alice Slugger. I got a TikTok, but when I make the TikTok, it's gonna be
Alice Slugger.
Yeah. Already.
Dope, man. I appreciate you coming here, man, and dad on shooting the shit with me, man. It was good talking to you, good to know you, and definitely gonna be on the lookout for your music, bro.
Oh yeah, already. Thank you.
All right, man. This is As of Late. Thanks for listening to As of Late Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to As of Late Podcast on both of those. You can also listen to As of Late Podcast on Anchor.fm and Google Podcasts.